tried in vain a thousand ways my fears to quell, my hopes to raise. But what I need, the Bible says, is ever must appeal in simple faith to Jesus. He died, he lives, he reigns, he pleads. There's love in all his words and deeds. There's all a gift each sinner needs, forevermore in Jesus.
The Good News Hour greets you once again, and your speaker is John A. Horn of Atchison, Kansas. Just a reminder that this is the program wholly dedicated to the precious word of the living and true God. Now I'm going to ask your attention, please, to the first chapter of the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. And we're following up what we have been seeking to set forth in a number of broadcasts in bygone days and very recently. We have been calling attention to some of the things that are most surely believed among us, such as the forgiveness of sins, redemption through the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, eternal security, and our position as already seated with Christ yonder in the glory, accepted in all the acceptability of his present worth. I mean our Lord, the worth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I thought today I'd like to say a little about salvation, and we do believe in present and in eternal salvation. And I'm sure the Word of God abounds with precious, precious truth that would support an assertion of this kind. Otherwise, if the Word of God did not believe it, we certainly would not be teaching it. And so, we're going to think now a little with you of the first chapter of the Epistle to the Romans, beginning at verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And by whom also we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom also ye also are the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Now, first of all, I should like to say that we do not believe in apostolic succession. Paul, our apostle, was called to be an apostle. You can think of him, for instance, at the very time of his conversion. He was persecuting the saints of God, persecuting the Christians of that day, and he was apprehended, and not only was he made a saint, he was at the same time made an apostle by calling. You know, it's very interesting, too, when you think of this letter written to Rome, and of course to the saints at Rome. It's very, very precious to know how they became saints. Now, in other words, look, just as Paul, our apostle, became a saint and an apostle by calling, and that instantaneously. So each and every child of God who is reached by the gospel, who is saved by the grace of our God, is a saint by calling and not a saint by attainment, as is so foolishly thought and so contrary to all the Word of God. There are those who have the idea that sainthood is attained maybe in a matter of years or perhaps hundred of years. This is wrong, contrary to the teaching of God's precious Word. In other words, today I may be a sinner in my sins, away from God and as far from Him as it's possible to be. And upon hearing the gospel, I open my heart, I receive Christ as my Savior. Right then and there, on the spot, I enter into sainthood. In other words, I am a saint by calling. Now, I want to say just a few things about the Apostle Paul, and then about his message, and the ones, of course, to whom the message is sent. The Apostle is brought before us as an example in salvation and in his service. Oh, it's wonderful to know that. And also, he's an example in suffering too, as well, and in separation, his separation to God. He was a sample in these four distinct senses, and I'm sure the Word of God is clear as to that. And we're going to think of him now as one who was called and one who was sent by God, and then, as we have suggested, his message to as well. The Apostle Paul, our Apostle, declares the gospel, and he says in this very interesting chapter that this gospel concerns his Son. It concerns our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I wouldn't give very much for a message that centers in the messenger. The man, for instance, who's telling about himself. Any true servant of Jesus Christ and who is a faithful witness will speak not of himself, but will speak of the subject of his message, namely, the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, Paul could say as to his life and as to his preaching, not I, but Christ. And the thing that was all-consuming in the life of the Apostle Paul was Christ. Now, just one further thought I want to stress, because we're going to say something today about what we believe, what we most surely believe, and that is in present and in eternal salvation. However, I want you to think now of this man's message. What did he have to say? And by the way, I'm glad to tell you that Paul's message was for the entire world. And if you have any doubt about that, you just go back to verse 5 of Romans chapter 1, where he says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And so we're so glad and we're so happy to take up a message like that. And we can say, too, that what we have to say is for the obedience of faith among all nations for his name. Now, just a little as to his message. If you were to go down the chapter to about verse 15, you know it really meant something to the Apostle Paul. And he had something that he could not possibly keep to himself. And this is what he had to say. So as much as in me is, I am now ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. My, that's wonderful, isn't it? He said, I am now ready. And then he could say, not only am I now ready, but he said, in as much as in me is. In other words, I'm putting into it all that I have. And you can think so often of professed servants of the Lord who are so half-hearted in their message and wouldn't want to do very much suffering for the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. And already we pointed out to you that Paul, our apostle, is a sample in salvation and a sample in service and a sample in his suffering as well as his separation for the honor and for the glory of our God. And so he could say, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they might obtain the salvation of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so one would really like to endure just a little for the name or for the sake of our Lord Jesus. Oh, we owe so much to him. Now listen, every man and every woman that is really and truly reached and saved by the grace of God, who is one of his saints, can say and should be able to say, as did Paul, whose I am and whom I serve. And remembering his words to on another occasion, ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your bodies. And you see, this is the one way that I can tell of the wonders of the grace of God, is through this body that he has given. I mean, he's taken residence in my heart, and it is my joy to tell others about a wonderful Savior. However, now let's see just a little about his message. We've been thinking of Paul the messenger. Now here's his message. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, or to the Gentiles. Now just a word I'd like to say. You know, the word of God is self-explanatory, and just the reading of that precious word will thrill and fill your heart with unspeakable joy. We think, for instance, of its simplicity. We think of its scope. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, he didn't mean because he was a hero. Why he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, was because of the message and the one whom that message concerns, so perfect, so complete in itself. And he said that in that gospel is resident the dynamite of God, the power of God, unto salvation. And then now this is the scope, to every one that believeth. Oh, sinner, believe it today if you never had. Therein lies the power of God, that power unto salvation. Then he says, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, should there be any Jews listening in today, the gospel concerning our Lord Jesus Christ, his death upon Calvary, it will bring life, it will bring peace, it will bring joy, it will bring present salvation to you if you open the heart's door and bid the Savior enter in. If you exercise faith in him, receive him as your own personal Savior, you would be saved with an everlasting salvation. Now, just one thought further I want to stress. And as we have stated, we believe the thing most surely believed among us is not only that one may have the present knowledge of salvation, but that salvation is threefold. Salvation is eternal. The moment I trust Christ, I am saved from the penalty of my sin and have the assurance that I can never be lost, that I shall never perish further. Then there is the daily salvation. In that gospel, God has made provision for my salvation day by day, so that I can be a conqueror in my life over every foe. And yes, that blessed one who died for me is living for me, so that I can know and enjoy daily salvation over the power of sin in my life. Then, thank God, when he comes, I shall be saved everlastingly from the very presence of sin, be with him and like him forever and ever. Oh, will you believe him? Will you receive him today? And salvation would be yours. Now, we'd be interested in getting a line from you. Good News Hour, care of the station to which you are listening, or Good News Hour, 419 Smith Street, Atchison, Kansas. May the Lord bless you meantime, is our prayer for his great name's sake. Amen.